taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The wonderful and amazing thing is this, that God, the God who fills the universe, the God who created the universe, came into our world. He became a man. He humbled himself and became obedient, even to death on a cross. It's this Jesus whom we come to worship this evening. Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord God, we want to thank you for the privilege that is ours to come here this evening in order to worship you. And we pray that as we seek to draw near to you, that we may be very conscious of your presence with us. We want you, Lord, to speak to us tonight and also to help us in all the things that we do. Lord, we want to give of our very best to you because you are worthy of the best that we can bring. We pray that you would give us understanding of the things of yourself this evening. Lord, we can say a lot of things to you tonight. We want to say a lot of things to you tonight. But what is most important, we believe, is what you would have to say to us. And we pray, Lord God, that you might speak to us clearly and powerfully through your word. Whatever age we might be, whatever our experience of you and Christian things might be, please speak. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this evening is going to be just a little bit different. I don't think any of you need to worry about that. I'm going to do something that is biblical. I'm going to do something that Jesus promoted and encouraged. I'm going to do something that the apostles promoted and encouraged. Is there anybody this evening that is willing to wash my feet? I'm serious. It's probably not something that anybody wants to jump to. This may be the one time that I don't get any volunteers, but as you can see, everything is ready. Is there anybody that is willing to come up to the front and wash my feet? Now, Peter, don't do that. Now, I don't mind if nobody is willing to volunteer. I can handle that. I can remember the time when I was at Bible college, and there was a young man named Tim, and he decided on one occasion that he would wash the feet of everybody in his class. The problem was the water was a bit hot, and he ended up burning everybody's feet. And I don't think that it went down too well. Joanne tells me the story of someone that she knew who went onto the platform of a railway station, and there on the platform was offering to wash the feet of anybody that passed by. Now, I do think that that's a bit nuts, and maybe it would have been better if they had offered to polish people's shoes or something like that instead. It's a humble task, isn't it? to be willing to wash somebody else's feet. We're going to look at a story tonight, a real story, that tells us about the time when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and how he impressed upon his disciples to go and wash the feet of others. And actually, during the days of the apostles, there was quite a lot of feet washing that went on. But I don't think the passage we're looking at is really about feet washing. And I'm going to show you as time goes on this evening why I think that is so. Would you like to turn with me in your Bibles to John and chapter 13? John and chapter 13. I would encourage you to grab hold of a church Bible. There should be one in front of you, a red one. And turn to page 1081. 1081. John chapter 13, then, starting to read at verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And let's pray again. Lord, it's a wonderful thing to be able to speak to you in prayer. And as believers, we really do believe that we are coming before you, the Almighty God, that we're able to come before you because of the Lord Jesus and what he has done. And you receive us as a Heavenly Father, and we can receive from you. We can receive from your throne of grace. How willing you are to give us grace, to help us during our times of need. We praise and we thank and worship you. Lord, how vast is your love. It is indeed like the vastness of the ocean. And we pray this evening that we might grasp how wide and deep and high is the love of God so clearly and wonderfully demonstrated to us at the cross where Jesus died. Lord, we thank you for the reading of Scripture this evening. And we pray that you would help us to understand this passage and its relevance to our lives, whether we're young, middle-aged, or old. We pray that we may feel the force of your word upon our lives this night. We thank you that the Bible is being faithfully taught in different churches across our country this evening. And where the Bible is faithfully being taught, we do ask that it would go forth with power to the changing and transforming of precious souls. Lord, this is a good place for us to be this evening. And we ask that our time together would be good, and that we may leave this place saying, wasn't it good to be found amongst the people of God? Well, it's really good to see little Kaya here this evening. And we pray that she may feel very much at home here among us, young though she may be. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter, is it possible to have the first picture, please, on the screen? I don't know what's going to happen now. It's not the end of the world. If it doesn't appear, that's great. That's the passage that we're looking at this evening. Just leave it there for just a second. This passage is really all about Jesus showing his disciples the extent, the vastness of his love. If you've got your Bible open, will you look at verse 1? John chapter 13, verse 1, and it's particularly the last part of verse 1 that I'm interested in. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Let me ask you a question. How might a boy show the full extent of his love to a girl? Let me provide you with one possible answer. Any other thoughts or ideas? What might a boy do to show a girl that he loves her? Give her diamonds. So it's got to cost him something. Absolutely. Anything else? A box of chocolate. Yeah. That's not going to cost quite so much, but... I thought you were going for the thought. It's the thought that counts, but you've kind of ruined that now, haven't you? Anything else? Flowers. Yeah, good. Proposed to her. Oh yes, very, very good indeed. How did Jesus, all those years ago, show the full extent of his love to his disciples? I'm going to quickly say not by washing their feet. Jesus did show his love to his disciples by washing their feet, but how did Jesus show the full extent of his love to his disciples? Any thoughts? Any ideas? Well, maybe the next slide will tell. By going to the cross and dying in order that they might be forgiven. Or to put it another way, in order that they might be made clean. or cleansed from all their sins. The foot washing, I think, was a graphic illustration that really pointed to the cross. Jesus would humbly and lovingly serve his disciples by washing their feet in order to make their feet clean. But more importantly, he would humbly and willingly go to the cross, where he would suffer and die in order to cleanse them from their sins. Let's have the next picture, please, Peter. On one particular occasion, Jesus sent Peter and John ahead of him and the other disciples to an upper room where they were to make preparations for the Passover feast. Well, as the evening meal was being served, Jesus got up, he took off his outer garment, he put a towel around his waist, he poured water into a bowl, and he began, I think we've got a picture of this, to wash the feet of his disciples one by one. And he dried the feet of his disciples with the towel. Now, next picture, can you imagine either of these two people washing your feet? Can you imagine either of these two people washing your feet? Let's just establish who these two people are. Those of you sitting on the front row, who's this man? Peter. David Cameron, and he's our what? He's our Prime Minister. Surely we all know who the person is on the right-hand side, but just in case anybody doesn't, it's our Queen, isn't it? The lady who is right at the very top. Can you imagine either of these two people coming to your home and doing the worst of the jobs around the house? What's one of the worst jobs in your house? But let's have some honest answers. What are some of the worst jobs in your house? Yes, Joshua. Cleaning. Anything in particular? Cleaning your bedroom, maybe? Do you get asked to clean your bedroom? Yeah, that's not a great job, is it? Samuel? Cleaning the toilet. Yeah. Somebody has to do it, though, don't they? Anything else? Josh? Changing the cat litter. Oh, that really does sound like a bad job. I can think of one worse than that. It might be that Naomi's about to say it. Yes. Yes. Oh, dear. That is unquestionably the worst job in our house. Picking up the mess that the dog has made on the back lawn. I was going to talk about that, but I wasn't really sure whether I should talk about that in a setting like this. But there we go. It's been said. Wouldn't it be really shocking, if either of those two people came to my house without the media looking on and went into the back garden and started fulfilling the worst job in our house? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Perhaps we would feel a little bit awkward as a family about them doing that. But you know what Jesus did all those years ago, I think, was even more shocking. 10,000 times more shocking. In those days, there weren't tarmac roads. And people didn't wear socks and shoes, they wore sandals. The roads were dusty. And so when a person arrived at a friend's house, their feet were all dirty and dusty. And before they sat down to a meal, It was the job of the lowest servant in the household to wash the visitor's feet. Who was Jesus? Well, he was the disciples' teacher. He was their Lord. Actually, he was their God. And here was Jesus on this particular occasion stooping in order to wash these men's feet. Now, you may not feel the force of that this evening, but we're meant to feel the force of that. This was shocking. And I wonder how the disciples felt. I wonder whether they felt a little awkward or embarrassed by what Jesus was doing for them. I'm sure they did. Well, it was Peter's turn. And we've got a picture here of it being Peter's turn. Peter said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" I think there was surprise on Peter's part, but perhaps a little bit of resistance. And Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." See, Jesus was showing them, by means of graphic illustration, that he had come into the world in order to humbly serve them by going to the cross, to make them clean, clean from sin. "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." You see, Peter knew who Jesus was and who he was. He knew that Jesus was teacher and master and Lord. Indeed, King of kings and Lord of lords. Peter knew that he should be worshipping, that he should be washing Jesus' feet. Although he probably would have felt unworthy to do that. Who was Jesus wanting to wash his feet? "No," said Peter, but Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," said Peter, "not just my feet, but my head and my hands as well." It was important that Jesus washed Peter's feet on this particular occasion, but it was even more important or necessary that in the hours to come, that Jesus should go to the cross in order that Peter's sins might be dealt with or washed away. And Peter, along with the others, must not do anything to try to prevent Jesus from doing the work that he had come into the world to do. I want to ask you all this evening, it's a bit of a personal question really, I hope you don't mind me asking you a personal question. But do you feel a bit dirty tonight? Now, when I ask that question, I don't mean, are you feeling dirty because you haven't had a wash or a bath or a shower over the last day or so? I don't really want to know anything about that, to be quite frank. What I am asking is this. Do you feel a little bit dirty, or perhaps a lot dirty, on the inside? Because you've said things or done things that have offended others. Perhaps your parents. And particularly because you have perhaps said or done things that have offended God, your Creator, the one who made you. I want to say loud and clear this evening that with Jesus there is forgiveness. With the Lord Jesus there is complete, full cleansing from sin. We simply need to say sorry. We need to repent of our sins and trust in Jesus as our Saviour, believing that he died upon the cross so that we could be cleansed or forgiven. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he showed the full extent of his love to his disciples. He showed them by means of graphic illustration, by washing their feet. But in the hours that lie ahead, well, then he really would show them the extent of his love by dying upon a cross. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we read these words, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Is there anyone who is willing to wash my feet? Now I realise that that is not a particularly pleasant task to think about, and I will understand perfectly if nobody here this evening wants to get up out of their seat. I will totally and completely understand that, but I'm just giving you the opportunity. Well, let me move on. Peter, can we have the last picture, please, up on the screen? Keep going. That's the one, isn't it? Yep, sorry, you're right. No, that's the one. Well, when Jesus had finished washing the feet of his disciples, he put on his outer garment and he returned to his place. And he wanted to ask them a question. Did they understand what he had done? Did they understand what he had done? What had he done? Well, he had humbly served them. And this is what he, in turn, wanted them to do to others. Let me ask you a question. Were the disciples greater than Jesus? That's not a difficult question. Were the disciples greater than Jesus? No, of course they were. Well, if Jesus was willing to do the humble task, they then should be willing to do the most humble of tasks, shouldn't they? 2 minutes ago, we were talking about the worst job in the home. Do you think I should be willing to go out into the back garden and do that worst of all jobs? I'm the head of the home, let's remember. That's what the Bible says. What do you think? Should I be willing to do it? Yeah, I should be willing. Who does it most of the time? Joanne. Shame on me, indeed. I heard a story this past week at the conference of a man who drove around in a really old purple car. I can't remember the make of the car. It was probably a Ford Escort or something like that. And every day he would wear a really old suit, a suit that he'd had for years, and he lived in a very ordinary home. This man was not poor. He earned a six-figure salary. That means that he earned over, I don't know how much over, £100,000 a year. This man, you see, had decided within his own heart that he wasn't going to spend life serving himself. Rather, he was going to spend his life and his money humbly serving Jesus and others. Now, I don't think we all have to do exactly that, but I simply tell that story by way of illustration. He was a man who recognized that Jesus, the Lord of all, was willing to leave behind the wonder, the riches of heaven, where he was worshipped by angels, in order to come into this world and not only wash the feet of his disciples, but to die the death of a common criminal. Therefore, not being better than Jesus, he must surely be willing to deny himself certain things and to be willing to serve humbly others. I think it's a remarkable story and perhaps a challenge to all of us here this evening. On this particular night, then, Jesus showed the extent of his love to his disciples. By means of graphic illustration. But in the hours to come, he would really show his love by suffering and dying upon a cruel cross in order that they might be cleansed from their sin. What a wonderful example of love and a willingness to humbly serve others. If Jesus has loved as much as that, if Jesus has been willing to stoop as low as that, what a challenge, don't you think it is to us? Are we willing to respond to his love and humility by being willing to do the most humble of tasks in life? Are we willing to serve others, to put others before ourselves? That's the challenge, isn't it, of this particular passage? And I hope that we won't leave the church this evening without being challenged by what we've read and considered this evening. Let's pray together. Lord God, we want to thank you for this story in the Scripture that provides us with a graphic illustration of the extent of Jesus' love towards his disciples and to us, if we are one of his disciples or one of his believers. Oh Lord, the wonder of your love to us, to think that you should be willing to suffer and die in our place so that we might be forgiven. Perhaps there's someone here tonight who feels dirty. Dirty in your sight. Oh Lord, how we thank you that there is forgiveness, there is cleansing for all who will repent of their sins, who will turn from their sins, expressing sorrow for their sins, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Lord Jesus as an example. What a challenging example it is. Are we greater than he? Surely not. Then we, O Lord, must be willing to humbly serve you and others. Help us to do that. So often we want to sit on the throne. We want to be served. We like position. We like being the one giving the directions. Help us, Lord, to live our lives as you would have us live them, whether we're young, middle-aged or old. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.